Praise God. Please turn with me to the book of James. Comes after Hebrews and before 1 Peter. James chapter 5. And we are on this series of prayer, dealing with this issue of prayer. We have over the past more than several weeks now, a couple of months, because it's such a vital thing. I believe many don't minister in prayer because the whole issue, they want to ignore it. Prayer is vital. It is the breath of a believer. Even this week we had messages from believers in a couple of other countries saying that these messages on prayer are affecting them and encouraging them and helping them. Saints, don't let it be lost in these Sunday mornings. James chapter 5, and my message this morning is the prayer of faith. But I'm going to preach it like maybe you haven't heard it before. I've been preparing this over the past week or two. Then Friday night, the Lord suddenly showed me something and pointed me to something that I wasn't going to deal with, but I am this morning. It became so alive, these few verses that we're dealing with here. James chapter 5, reading from verse 13. Verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Let's pray together here this morning. Father, I do thank you for your word, for the guidance of your Holy Spirit. You said, O God, when he has come, he will lead us into all truth. He will not speak of himself, but he'll take of your words that were given by the Father through the Son, and he'll reveal them unto us. I thank you here this morning in this gathering for the Spirit of truth who opens up the word of God, who speaks to us through the word as we compare scripture with scripture, teaching us eternal realities that affect and impact our lives. Lord God, I do pray, encourage us and strengthen us concerning this prayer of faith. We want individuals, men and women in this church, who know how to pray the prayer of faith. Lord God, I do pray for individuals, Lord God, who will rise up and, Lord God, be a blessing in this church, in this city, in the families, O God, represented here, by knowing how to lay a hold of you and to pray by faith, having an assurance that what they have desired and asked, it shall be done for them. Lord God, bless your word this morning in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. My message here this morning is the prayer of faith, and I think most will know the prayer of faith is connected to healing, but I want to show you in its context, it's far more than that. Do not limit the prayer of faith to a miracle or a supernatural sign or even to a healing. The prayer of faith is an awful lot more. As we have dealt with in the two previous weeks, there are certain things that hinder prayer. Sin can hinder prayer. When you pray, it must be according to the word of God, the will of God. It must be with faith. And saints, it must be to the glory of God. God. If you ignore those things, you can actually be praying prayers that will never get answered and cannot be answered. And the last thing that we dealt with last week was the fact that God may delay answers to prayer, or he may deny what you want as an answer to your prayers. And if you don't understand that God has the right and the authority and the power and the love and wisdom to either delay the prayers or to deny you the thing that you're asking, you're very foolish here this morning. Rather than getting angry or bitter or confused, you know what we do? We submit to God. We submit to him. And in the light of saying that we submit to a God who can deny prayers and who can delay prayers for days, weeks, hours, or even years, let us deal with this thing called the prayer of faith. I don't want you merely to be praying in a fog, or merely to say, maybe God will answer something someday, somewhere. The prayer of faith is far more definite than that. If you pray vaguely, you haven't prayed the prayer of faith. If you merely pray, God, whatever you want to do, you haven't prayed the prayer of faith. Here this morning, I'm dealing with the prayer of faith. Let me give you a definition of the prayer of faith from 1 John chapter 5 and 14. Don't turn there, but listen. It says there in chapter 5:14, and this is the confidence or the full persuasion that we have in him, in Christ Jesus. There is a confidence, a full persuasion. I don't have any doubts. I know that's what confidence is. And it says this confidence is in Jesus Christ. What is the confidence? Listen, it's if we ask anything according to his will, it has to be according to the will of the Father. He heareth us. To have a confidence, I know he hears me. I know he hears me in heaven. And having a confidence, it's according to the will of God. When I pray, I know I've got the will of God. I know the word of God. I'm not in doubt saying I don't know God's will. No, I know God's will. I know his word. And I know that he hears me. Saints, I'm telling you what the prayer of faith actually is. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Many years ago, before I was born, my grandfather had cancer in his body, and on his lip he had a large cancerous growth. And you know what? He was praying for healing. And one day as he prayed alone in his altar of prayer, and he's saying, Lord, I'm asking you to heal me according to your will, according to your word. And I'm asking in faith. And immediately he got assurance, I'm healing you. I will heal you from this cancer. Do you know when he walked into church and was in the next meeting, he stood publicly and he testified. He said, I know God gave me faith. I know God has answered. I have received the answer from God. And that cancerous growth is still hanging on his lip. Do you know, my mother was there. And as he's testifying, there was a man sitting there who burst out laughing and began to mock Willie Mulligan for saying he knew he was healed, that God had answered his prayer, even though the cancer is hanging off his lip from all those years of smoking his pipe. Well, do you know what happened? Shortly after that, the Spirit of God came on him as he looked in the mirror one day, and he cursed it, pulled it off his lip, and the entire cancer died in his body. And the doctors could verify that. Somebody prayed the prayer of faith. The man who laughed publicly in that church died of cancer. My grandfather didn't die of cancer. He died at a meeting in that very church. And I watched him as he died and went off into the presence of God. Do you know what I'm saying? The assurance of faith. There is a prayer that you can pray that God answers from heaven. Here this morning, I want to give you 3 points on this issue of the prayer of faith from James chapter 5. I haven't seen this before, but it became so clear to me on Friday evening that I feel compelled to preach this here this morning. The prayer of faith. First of all, prayer when you're afflicted. Look at with me at verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Here, first of all, we see the prayer of faith. Prayer when you are afflicted. I believe that in James chapter 5, there's three specific times we're told about prayer. All very different situations. All different people praying. And a different type of prayer for a different thing. But you know what? In James 5, although it only says about healing being the prayer of faith, I believe these three references are to a prayer of faith that gets an answer from heaven. All three of these are an example of when you are to pray the prayer of faith. Look with me at this verse here. Is any among you afflicted, let him pray. Since when you're afflicted, it's talking about a genuine born again Christian in the house of God, and you're being afflicted. What does the word afflicted mean? It means to undergo hardships. In other words, troubles are pressing in upon you, or you're passing through trials, or you're having to walk through fiery trials that are to test you. It actually means that you're suffering, maybe in mind, maybe in body, maybe in heart, maybe through circumstances. But is any among you afflicted? See this morning here, is there anyone here who is afflicted? You're actually in suffering. You're enduring suffering. You're having to bear up under suffering. It's never easy. What is the suffering he's talking about? You're vexed. You're troubled. You're dejected. You're discouraged. You're wore down. You're afflicted maybe, and maybe this is the reason, because of your walk with God. Maybe it's in your workplace or your family or in your house and estate, and you're afflicted, or you're having to suffer at the words of men or the actions of men or a family member. Why? Because you love the Lord Jesus Christ. You love God, and suffering comes. Saints, get used to it. Suffering will come in the Christian life. But notice here, it doesn't say lie down under it. Well, you're suffering, get used to it. There's an awful lot of Christians, they are defeatist. They believe in Christ, they're suffering for Christ, but they lie down under it and say, well, this is God's will for me. This is my cross. There's no way out of it. This is my lot in life. But that isn't what it says here. It says, is there any among you afflicted? You better do something. Let him pray. You don't lie under that trial. You don't just submit to suffering. You better get to prayer. When you're suffering, when you're in the fire, when your heart is broken, when you're discouraged, when depression comes, you know what you do? You begin to pray. Do you lose your house? Then you better pray. Have you lost your job? You better pray. Have you lost your girlfriend? You better pray doubly, I can assure you. But it's given very precise information here. You may be poor, and you can reach heaven by prayer. You may be very discouraged, but there is a place of prayer where you can touch the very throne of God. Since there is something you're to do when you're afflicted, what are you to do? Criticize? Are you to begin to complain and murmur and begin to judge things? Are you going to begin accusing God? Oh God, why are you letting me go through this? Oh God, this isn't your will. Oh God, why would you allow them to say this or do this? Why haven't you done something for me? Be very careful when affliction comes. We are commanded, in order to guard our hearts, that when affliction comes and suffering, moment. You better allow that suffering to drive you to prayer. You better allow those things that are happening, words spoken, our circumstance, our people, you better allow that to carry you to your knees and to begin to pray. You know what? If you don't pray, that affliction will remain the same and nothing is going to happen in your heart. But you know what? The Bible says, when you're afflicted, you must pray. Allow those trials to work for you and not against you. I don't believe this is merely praying, oh God, help me. Oh God, help me to endure. Oh God, will you take this away? There is a thing called prayer. A prayer of faith that you go, I know God has heard me. What's the point of being in affliction? And you're praying, God, help me. God, are you there? God, are you hearing me? God, do you care about me? That is not the prayer of faith. That is a prayer of unbelief. That is a self-pity prayer party. You may not have heard about that before, but you sure have this morning. Much prayer in your private time as you drive along. All it is me, 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 me. It is defeatist. I know you're not going to answer me, and God's saying, I'm sure not going to respond to your manipulations and your moaning and complaining. Do you know that moaning, complaining, criticizing, accusing God, it's sin? It's actually sin against God. Do you know what you need to do? You must pray the prayer of faith. What is the prayer of faith in affliction? It'll do one of three things for you. Either, first of all, it'll bring deliverance. Do you believe that you can so pray that God will reach in and deliver you out of your affliction or your suffering? I believe it. You see, I believe in the trial, when I pray, there is a prayer of faith that can remove somebody out of my life. I've seen it, saints. God can deal with someone or change a situation or lift me up out of it within hours or days or maybe weeks. God can deliver you. Saints, this is the prayer of faith in this chapter for Christians who are being afflicted. Maybe he won't deliver you out of it. Maybe he won't move the trial out. Maybe he won't set you up on top of a rock. But listen, maybe in answer to your prayer of faith, God, I know that you've heard me. Do you know what he maybe will do? Is change the trial into a testimony. Someone once said, why is there so few testimonies in the church of this generation? Why do you hear so few? You know why? There's so few who are really being tested in a way that they get the victory in it. There's so few in trials in the will of God where they pray to God and get an answer from God and God raises up a testimony. God may never change your circumstance, but are you going to pray through, get a hold of God, pray the prayer of faith where you go, I know he's heard me, and you raise up a testimony. You're not moaning and complaining and grumbling and moping around and coming in sad. You know what? You stand up and say, the trial didn't change, but I've changed. That prayer of faith changed me. I got the victory over the devil. I got the victory over the flesh. I got the victory over that individual. I got the victory over that situation. I got the victory over my small bank account. You know what is it that's restricting you? Get the victory on your knees. Triumph over it by the grace of God. Or he may give you simple strength to endure through it. He won't remove the trial, or the burden, or the affliction, or the suffering. He may not remove Patrick or Jimmy or Sally from your workplace, and they're still murmuring about you. They still criticize you. They still accuse you. You know what? Maybe in prayer, like Paul the Apostle, God will give you grace to give you strength to endure through, that you go, that won't affect me. You know, one of these days, I'm going to get past it. I'm going to pray the prayer of faith that when they speak, it won't even touch me. And they'll look at you and go, why aren't you being bothered bothered by my words. I prayed the prayer of faith. Since that's the first thing in this James chapter 5, and we miss it. We go straight to the prayer of faith for the sick, and we miss this, but it's very important. There's an instantaneous prayer where you go, I must touch God in this trial. I must touch God in this fiery furnace. And you know what? He answers you. But notice it's compared with, is any merry? Let him sing psalms. You're not always in trials. Sometimes it's time to sing. Don't worry about if you're going through the trials and the person beside you is singing. The Bible commands it. Are you merry? Are you cheerful? Are you free from trouble? Or it's the very opposite of affliction. Don't begin to say, I shouldn't rejoice. Rejoice with all of your heart. There's a time to pray about your afflictions. But there's a time when you're in no trials, shout to the Lord. Enjoy the freedom of God. You know why? If you're on a mountaintop, keep walking. There's a valley coming. Are you in a valley this morning? Keep walking. There's a mountain just ahead of you. That's the way God has made this. Sometimes you must be in the valley of affliction. Other times you must be in the mountain of rejoicing. God has put this together that you can grow. Afflictions and merriment, both are needed in the right season. Water and sun for your plants. Night and day for both spiritual growth and natural growth. It's all needed. Are you cheerful here this morning? Then why not sing a psalm? Why not make melody in your heart? There's no sin in that. It's a good thing. You know what? Enjoy it while it's there, because you will have a trial along this way. When the trial comes, let's get down to prayer. I must touch God in this trial, but I won't feel sorry for myself. I won't do that. Second of all, the prayer when sick. The prayer of faith for the sick. Verse 14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray for him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. This is the second prayer of faith I want to bring to you. It's when an individual is sick. And the word sick there means someone who's very feeble or very weak, or they may have disease, or they could have cancer or a brain tumor or some other thing, or they can't get out of bed, or they're in hospital. That's what it means to be sick. Can a Christian get sick? Yes, they can. A genuine, real, godly, spirit-filled Christian can get sick. The Bible actually shows us this, that even the righteous can get sick. It says in the Bible concerning Elisha the prophet in the Old Testament. He got sick, and from that sickness, he died. He didn't get a healing. He didn't get a miracle. He'd done twice the miracles of Elijah the prophet. He raised the dead. He'd done many great miracles. He was a prophet from God. He was a man of prayer. He knew how to make dead people live. He knew how to touch God in prayer. And yet, at the end of his days, the Bible says he got sick, and from that sickness, he died. No sin, no disobedience. He wasn't out of the will of God. It's time to go home. What about that man Job with the boils in his body, sitting on the ash heap, scraping off his boils? You know as well as me, his best friends, spiritual men, and they said, Job, come on, you've got secret sin. You must have done something. You must be proud. There's a reason. Be very careful when a Christian gets sick, or you get sick, to think, oh, I must have sinned. Not always. Not always. Be very careful. If you have sinned, you better repent at that point. You better take, maybe God's trying to get your attention. It says in 2 Timothy 4:20, concerning Paul writing, but Trophimus have I left, and Miletum sick. Why didn't the man of God, a man of prayer, a man with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, heal his friend? This was a fellow preacher who was laboring hard and had got sick in the work of God. Why did he leave him behind? Why didn't he raise him up? Why didn't he raise them up? Since all of these things we're taught about prayer, it all works together. Don't pull out one scripture or one truth or one testimony and make that everything and ignore everything else. You will get yourself in trouble. You need to be very careful. I heard of a testimony in this city of a couple where one of the members of that couple got very ill, and the church starts saying, "You're in sin. You must be in sin. You can't attend this church because of your sin. There's something wrong with that." That's all out of order. But listen to what it says here. "Is any sick among you?" Remember, he said, "Is any afflicted among you?" Now he's saying, is there any of you sick? Any in the local church, in the body of Christ? Is there any sick? What are you to do if you're sick? We know what you're to do when you're afflicted. You're to go and pray. "Oh God, help me." We know what you're to do when you're happy and merry. Well, you're to sing a psalm. But what do you do when you get sick? "Oh, well, I'm going to wait for somebody to pray for me." And they're going to go, "Oh, I hear you're sick. Can I pray for you?" And of course, it's Keith's job to approach me. The preacher, the elder, has to come looking for me and say, "We ought to be praying for you." It doesn't say that. It says, if you get sick in this church, your responsibility, it's not now to pray by yourself. It's not now to sing psalms and say, "I'll sing it all away. I'll pretend it's not real." No. Do you know what you do? You call for the elders of the church. Notice here, you're calling for church elders, presbyters, preachers, leaders, overseers in the local church, or dare I say it, bishops. Yes, I'm a bishop, all right. I don't have a funny hat, but what's a bishop? I oversee. I'm looking after you. I care for your soul. I would die for you. That's what a bishop in the church is. Nothing more, nothing else. It says, when you get sick, call for the elders of the church. And listen to this, what it actually says. It says three things here. It's not saying for the sick person to pray the prayer of faith. It doesn't say that. Remember, the afflicted person, they're to pray this prayer of faith. But now the sick person, it's not, do you know when you're sick, you're not even always able to pray. There was a few years ago, I got very sick, didn't realize my whole body was being poisoned. I was in delirium. I could hardly function. Do you know what? I could hardly pray for myself. I was so glad for a lady. Remember I told you about Sean? Almost every single day, she phones Candace. "I'm praying for Keith. I'm praying for you." Every single day, Candace was scared to lift the phone. This old woman of prayer. And she says, "I'm going to pray until an answer comes. I'm going to pray that we get to the root of this." I'm so glad for that lady. I couldn't pray for myself. If you would have said, "Pray the prayer of faith," man, I can hardly lift my head. I'm not clear in my body. I'm being poisoned in my body and I don't realize it. But somebody prayed the prayer of faith. It says here, three things you're to do in calling for the elders. It's the elders who are to do this. What are they to do? First of all, pray over him. Isn't that a beautiful term? Elders, not one elder, not one pastor. It was the elders are to pray over him. It doesn't even say just pray for him. Why do you think it's written here, pray over him? Why doesn't it just say pray for him? You know why? When that sick person calls, we go. We don't just pray at a distance. We don't just pray in the church. We're going to go and pray. That person is going to hear us praying the prayer of faith. We are going to pray over them for that sickness, that they be healed. That's what we're going to do. The second thing is anointing them with oil. You know, we've got oil here. I always keep a bottle of oil. And you know what? The Bible commands us, pray over them, anoint them with oil. There's nothing special about this oil. I think someone sent it to us from Israel or somewhere else. I could care less if it's from up the road, out of some store in the corner. I don't care. It's nothing to do with oil. It doesn't say that oil heals you. It doesn't say that. It's only symbolic, like water and water baptism. But it says you pray over them, you anoint them with oil. And what else? does it say, in the name of the Lord, in his authority, by his power? I can't heal sickness, church. I hope you realize that. Elders can't heal sickness, but there is a God in heaven. We pray. We anoint with oil. You know what? We're calling on the name of the Lord. Lord, we're calling on you. God, we're calling on you. I can't heal cancer. I can't make a broken leg straight. I can't do that, but I call on the Lord. Thank God I don't need to rely on myself. Thank God I don't need to be a healer. But there is one who heals the sick when we pray, when we call upon him. It's not the anointing with oil. It is the prayer of faith. This is the second time. Do you know what? The responsibility is in you now. It's here at the front. It's here with me. I must pray the prayer of faith. Since the Bible tells me, when one of you gets sick, when things are going on, God help me, that's beyond me. I can't do that. But saints, along this way, I've got to touch God for this situation. I've got to pray through. I'm not putting the burden on you. I go, oh God, it's beyond me. I can't heal a fly, but I do believe this God heals. I do believe God can be touched, and I'm going to pray for you for a miracle of healing. Do you know what the Catholic Church has actually done to the scripture? And you all know it, or maybe you know about something, it's called a sacrament in the Catholic Church, a very sacred thing, a sacrament. They call it extreme unction. And maybe some of you have seen it, where one of your older family members, usually old, and usually at death's door, and they get very ill and sick, and you call for the Catholic priest, and they bring oil, anointing oil. And you know what? If you're a good, faithful Catholic, and you see the Catholic priest coming in the door with his little bit of oil, you better get very, very worried. Because you know what? He's not going to pray a prayer of faith. He's not coming to raise you up out of sickness. He isn't coming in there to say, I believe God answers prayer. You've got a man coming saying, perk guy, he'll probably never come out of this bedroom or walk out of his front door again. And if you're a Catholic, a good Catholic in this city, I tell you, I'd lock that door. Don't let that priest in here with his bottle of oil. That bottle of oil, all it means is, per guy, I'm going to be back in about a week's time, and I'll do the last rites on your dead body. You know what they're doing? It's become a tradition, a dead thing. They don't have any faith. Their prayer is a dead ritual. God doesn't hear it. And I wouldn't want any of them praying for me. I would say, man, keep him out of this house. Don't let his corrupt oil on my head. That's one sure thing. I do believe in the prayer of faith. I told you about 1987 when I was 15 years old. And I come home from school. Now my dad is rolling on the sofa. I'd never seen him sick. And he's rolling on the sofa holding his stomach. And he's groaning. And he's groaning. And he's in terrible pain. I'd never seen that before. And he got rushed into hospital that night, and they operated and said, if he lives tonight, his entire stomach's filled with cancer. The surgeon actually closed him up, took a little bit for testing, and says, we can't do anything. The entire stomach is riddled with cancer. And the surgeon told my backslidden brother, there is one in heaven who can answer prayers. There is hope with God, but we medically, there's nothing we can do. There's no treatment. If he survives the night, maybe he'll survive 3 days. Maybe. Maybe if he gets through tonight. Do you know he made it through the night? And we went in there. I lay my head on his pillow and just wept and cried and cried. It was a shock. 15 years old. And my dad's been given a day, 3 days to live. But you know what? That afternoon, the elders of the church, my dad, my mom, called for the elders of the church. That night before, my mom called us into the bedroom, us three boys, us three brothers, and she says, this is what the doctors have said. But I believe God. I believe God. Says, I've called for the elders. They're going to anoint him tomorrow. And you know what happened? As those elders, a bunch of men, went in and they laid hands upon him, he said he felt the power of God come down. It wasn't the oil. It was the prayer of faith. They prayed for a healing. They've gone there. The doctors are saying, you're a dead man. There's no hope. But there's men, elders of God, who went there saying, we're going to see him walk out again and to stand and to testify in that local church. We're going to pray the prayer of faith. Do you know what happened after they left the ward and went on down? My dad was sitting there. He says, man, I need to go to the toilet. As he went to the toilet, this straight after they left, he said, all this stuff come out through him. Do you know what happened? He passed that cancer. All this black stuff come out of his body. He said, I never thought I should have went to the nurse and got her to come. And do you know what? He got better and better and better. And for 3 years, God gave him another 3 years and then took him home. But for 3 years, he preached, led people to the Lord in Northern Ireland, Scotland, England. He went to those places, preached the gospel, that God answers prayer. That's an example, a testimony of the prayer of faith, saints. It's to operate in this church. We're not supermen. We're men of flesh and blood with fears. But you know what? There is a thing called the prayer of faith, and it will heal the sick. Verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Who raises him up? The Lord. Not the church, not the preacher, not the ministry. It is the Lord, the power of Jesus Christ. Don't dare give men glory for anything. It is God who receives all the glory and all the praise and the honor. But notice with me the last sentence, or the last part of verse 15, says a very strange thing. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. That's a big F. He's not saying that he's sick because of sin. He's not saying that. You can be super spiritual and you could get sick. But what it's saying here is if you're in a condition and you're very seriously ill, if he had committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. No elder can forgive sins. Anointing with oil doesn't forgive sins. No church can forgive sins. How do you get forgiveness of sins? You go straight to the Lord Jesus Christ and you pray for deliverance. The prayer of faith will save or heal or deliver the sick person. Since there is real deliverance. It says, if he hath committed sins. The word there means constantly sinning. In other words, this person, until this time, he's been constantly sinning, habitually sinning without repentance. It's not that he's fighting, struggling, and failing along the way. He is living in sin, calling himself a Christian in the body of Christ, and he is living in sin. He's not repenting, he's not departing from it. And you know what? It says that man, right at this situation of his sickness and illness, can actually bring about a time where he is forgiven. He's actually forgiven. This means one of three things. First of all, either the goodness of God leads to repentance. Until this time, he's been sinning. And now God is using this to get his attention. In other words, God heals him. And then out of gratitude, he said, oh God, forgive me. God actually does a supernatural miracle. And he says, oh God, I need you. I can give you an example of this. I'm not sure if Naomi knows or not, but some years ago, her father drove all the way down to Wales with a backslidden friend who was far from God, fallen away from God, in rebellion and disobedience to God. But her dad talked this man, said, you need to come. We'll drive 4 hours all the way down to Wales. You need to hear this preaching. And this friend got dragged all the way down to Wales. And I preached that night in the meeting. I didn't know his friend. He didn't tell me about his backslidden friend. But everyone's in the altar that night. And I just pray for them. I don't know who they are. And I got to the friend and I prayed for him and I moved on. And later that night, I had to rush out of the building. We had to leave. But as I'm getting in the car, Her dad comes running out and says, "No, Keith, before you go, you've got to come see my friend." I said, "No, but we need to go." "No, you need to come see my friend." He dragged me back in, and there's his backslidden friend, awestruck. I mean, literally awestruck. He was dazed. He said, "I can't believe it." He said, "When you laid hands on me in that altar," he said, "I've got a medical problem. My intestines are all messed up." And he said, "I'm healed. All the pain left me, everything." But he says, "But I'm backslidden. I'm far away from God. I've been living my own life." And he was awestruck. Do you know what I said to him? "Go and sin no more." I said, "The goodness of God leads to repentance. God can heal you in order to bring you right back to Him." Sadly, some people, I don't know what ever happened to this man. Maybe he's out in the world. Maybe he's in a church and far from God. I don't know. But do you know what? That night, God showed His goodness to that man to bring him back in and to get him right. In John chapter 5:14, we read about the lame man who was lame for 38 years, and Jesus heals him. Listen to what he said. "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." Jesus healed a man. And you know what? Healing can come simultaneously with forgiveness. It's the same God who heals. He forgives sin. He has the power. Do you know what Jesus said? When He said, "Just to show you I can forgive sin, I'll heal you. I'll heal this man. Take up your bed, walk." A man who had never walked 38 years. And you know what Jesus said to all those watching? "I have done this so that you know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sin." You see, sometimes God heals. Not because you're all right, or you're okay, or you're so super spiritual. You know why He heals you? To say, "I'm a mighty God, and I want to deal with your sin, and I want you to walk in holiness, and this is what I can do for you." But also, it may not be that. It may be this situation was a part of this person's recovery from sin. In other words, they've repented. They've got right with God. In fact, this praying for them is a part of their restoration back into the body of Christ. Let me give you an example. Numbers chapter 12. We're told about Moses, the brother of Aaron, and Miriam. And you remember in Numbers chapter 12, we read that Miriam led the way with Aaron in speaking against their brother Moses and said, "Does Moses only hear from God? Is Moses the only one who's going to lead?" And they started criticizing his Ethiopian wife. Listen, this is Israel. This is the people of God. They're Jews. And they're starting saying, "He took a Midianite. He took an Ethiopian." That was her nationality and her color. And here's Miriam beginning to mock this and say, "He ought to be a man of God." Do you know what God done? God struck Miriam with leprosy. She come up like Snow White because of that leprosy. You know why? She's a woman of God. She's a prophetess. She's led the worship amongst God's people. But you know what? She started getting attitudes and criticism and accusation against Moses. What did God do? God struck her with leprosy in her body. And you know what Aaron done? It's interesting. God didn't strike Aaron. He struck Miriam. Miriam's the older sister. Aaron is getting carried along with this. And God started, as soon as the leprosy come in Miriam, do you know what Aaron started to do? "Oh God, forgive me. Oh God, forgive us for doing it. Don't let this continue." And do you know what Moses done? Listen, it says Moses prayed for his sister. And she was to have a week separate outside the camp. 1 week. But God healed her. Do you hear me? That repentance can be a part of this recovery. Maybe your sin has led you. It could be criticism or accusation or lying or some other sin. And now you're sick. You're sick as a result of it. It could be God's punishment because you're playing religious games. And you know what? You're going to have to come right back into the house of God and say, "Oh God, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. I want to be right with God. But will you pray for me?" Yes. we'll pray for you that God does a miracle. He can forgive you if you repent, and he can heal your physical body. Or this could be a situation where they realize that some sin had made them ill and must be repented of before healing. Do you know, in this generation, I've wondered for about 10 to 15 years, maybe 20 years, I go, what's wrong with this young generation? There's something wrong. See the anxiety and all this mental pressure and all this doctor's medical drug. I mean an entire generation. I went to a school of 600 guys. There's no one like that. There's no one. It was unheard of. You know what? In my entire country, while I was growing up, I only heard of 2 suicides in all the years that I grew up. You know what's happening now in my home area? There's suicides every single week. It was unheard of in our entire country. All through my upbringing. Something is going on with this generation. Something has gone wrong, terribly wrong. Now, every 16-year-old you meet, an 18-year-old, and 21-year-old, well, I'm on medical drugs because I can't open my curtains. I'm scared to go out. I can't face life. I'm under anxiety. All the students at college and university, oh, we're committing suicide. Why? I couldn't handle my exam. What? Never happened in my day. Never happened in my day. The problem is we went too far the other way. We're probably too lazy, if anything. But you know what? There's something wrong with this generation. Let me briefly say, I have found one answer to why this plague is in our generation. Do you want to hear? Do you want to hear what the doctors, not Christian doctors, not religious people, do you know what secular doctors and scientists are saying is the reason for this in this generation? And it's utterly unique. It's an absolute addiction to online pornography. That's one of the reasons. That's one of the reasons. Since I'm telling you what doctors are saying, that it causes a struggle with severe depression, guilt, shame, condemnation, anxiety. I could have told them that in the Bible. Do you realize that's affecting an entire generation? They are addicts out of control. And this is sin now. And society is noticing. They're going, something is going on here. This generation's being affected. I'm talking about 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds. I'm talking about every age group you can imagine. Since it is time to pray the prayer of faith. This church must have the prayer of faith. The sick are going to be in our midst. Some will be forgiven and get right with God through that. But thirdly and lastly, prayer for faults. Verse 16. Prayer for faults. First of all, it's a man in affliction praying the prayer of faith to get out of affliction or through affliction. Second of all, it's the elders in the church praying for a sick member to be healed and to be raised up to recovery. It's the elders praying. But thirdly, there's a third one here in verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. It's a continuation from before, but it's different, very different. It's a different person praying for a different thing over a different issue. Look what it says here. This third point is praying the prayer of faith for the faults of others. You hear that? I'm not talking about your faults. I'm talking about other people have done things, said things, are acting in a certain way, and you are going to have to pray the prayer of faith for them. Look at verse 16. It says, confess your faults one to another. The word faults there means a sidestep, or to get out of the way, or to step just out of the narrow way. Hey brother, don't be legalistic. This is a broad way. No, it's not. Hey, I don't need to do things like you do them. Of course not, but you do need to do things like the Bible says it. You don't have a choice. That's legalism. No, it's not. It's obedience to God. Do you know what it says here in verse 16? Confess your faults one to another. This is a genuine Christian who's taken one sidestep. You say, that's not much. That can be enough to take you in an utter different direction. One sidestep out of the will of God. One sidestep away from the Word of God. One sidestep away or out of the narrow way. Confess your faults one to another. Do you know what it is? It's a deliberate act. It's a choice. It's a move away from the order of God. Paul this morning at the Lord's table dealt with what I'm dealing with here. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 11 again. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation or judgment. It's not talking about hell here. It says damnation. The word is to be judged. When you take of the Lord's table, of the cup and of the bread, unworthily, in a wrong condition of heart, in a wrong attitude, when you have no desire to be right with God and you're not repentant of your sins, do you know what it actually says? You're eating and you're drinking damnation or judgment. In other words, someone's going to judge you. Who is it? God, because he loves you. It's not judgment into hell. If you're in the body, he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to begin dealing with you. What does the Bible say? Those who God loves, he chastens. He disciplines. If you can sin and sin and sin and sin and rebel and disobey the word of God and set it aside and God doesn't deal with you, do you know what it means? You're illegitimate. You don't have a spiritual daddy. Or should I say, your daddy's the devil. Your daddy's the devil. If the Holy Spirit isn't dealing with you and saying, stop, stop, repent, come to the blood, get forgiveness, then you're nothing to do with God. You need born again this morning if that's your condition. But it says they drink damnation, not discerning the Lord's body. Listen to this. For this cause or this reason. Oh, I can do it. Nothing happens. Oh, I can carry on being me and be a Christian in the body of Christ in this city. But it's fine, nothing happens. No one's going to tell me what to do. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep or they die early. Do you know there's Christians who may not go to hell, but God says, I'm taking you out. I'm removing you from your family. I'm taking you out of that church. I am taking you away. Because you know what? An illness, a sickness is the only way you'll get right with me. It's the only way. And when you're on your deathbed and you go, oh God, my life's over, you'll be repenting deeply. You won't be running to a local pub. You won't be going looking for a girl, I assure you. You know what? You're saying, I'm just about to meet a holy God. I'm just about to breathe my last breath. You won't be playing games when it comes that time. You see, concerning the Lord's table, it says examine yourself, judge yourself. If you judge yourself, God won't judge you. If you examine yourself, God will cover you and forgive you. But it says here, some sleep. What are we to do then? It says confess your faults one to another. Have you taken a sidestep and you're criticizing someone? Have you lied on someone? Have you hurt someone? Have you offended someone? Do you have anger in your heart? Do you know what? You better go to that person, like Paul said at the Lord's table. To confess means acknowledge. Be open. Be honest. Be transparent. What do? Confess your faults one to another. I'm going to go to my brother or sister. I'm going to say, forgive me. I sinned against you. I hurt you. I shouldn't have done that. Will you forgive me? I have caused you harm. Will you forgive me here this morning? And you know what? When they say, I forgive you, who's to pray the prayer of faith in this situation? The person who's been hurt. The person who's been wronged. The person who's suffered because of their sin. You're to pray a prayer of faith. What, for yourself? No. You're to pray the prayer of faith for them. If they have sinned against you and they come to you and say, I'm so sorry. Do you know what you're to do? You must pray the prayer of faith for them. They need your prayers, not the elders. Look, at verse 16, isn't the elders? Call for the elders. No, no, no. You've sinned against me. Don't call for the elders. Nothing. You're sick and you've been a gossip and you've been trying to hurt me. Don't go call for the elders. Oh, this great apostle and preacher's coming through. I'll get him to pray for it. Oh, God, forgive me. God won't listen to that. You better go back to the person saying, will you forgive me? Yes, they're a nobody. They've never seen a miracle in their life. And yet their prayer could get you healed. Do you realize that? Oh, I'm so sorry. I want this to be right between us. It says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, we confess to God. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We confess our faults. Then the prayer is prayed. Pray for one another. They have harmed you. Pray for them. They're confessing. They're being honest. Now is the time. Oh God, will you heal them? Pray for one another that they may be healed in their physical body. You see, saints, this is real. Now the person who's being attacked, being offended, is going to be the means in God's hand to see that person healed. A miracle's going to happen. I've never seen a miracle before. But here comes Mr. Gossip. Or Mrs. Liar, and she's been causing me, she's broken my heart, and now she's here with tears, saying, will you forgive me? I'm sick in my body. Yes. And can I pray for you that God not only restores your mind and your heart, and definitely that tongue of yours, it needs healed as well. But I'm going to pray for your body to be healed. Do you know that person? I believe they can pray the prayer of faith. Pray the prayer of faith that that person's healed. Let me close. Verse 16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias or Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. What is the context of speaking about Elijah? Look at the next verse. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and he shall hide a multitude of sins. We as a church need to know how to pray the prayer of faith for the backslider. There's those who have been loved in here, cared in here. We have sacrificed for them, and they can walk out, and they can lie about you, not just me, lie about you, and say there's no love in that people. You know what? We need to get through that, because when they turn up at the door again sick, in a mental wreck of their minds, having destroyed their lives, and saying, I want to get right with God. Well, we can show you that. If you have bitterness against them and say, but they done so much harm to me, that isn't the time, saints. If they truly repent, we've got to pray the prayer of faith. That takes love. At that time, you've got to touch God for them. But they've harmed me. I know. They've harmed this church. I know. They've harmed God's testimony in this city. I know. But if they turn up at that door, I don't care if it's in a year or in 10 years, and they're dying of cancer, and they're in a hospital ward, and they're given days to live, you know what? It's time for us to get on our knees and to go to the throne of God and say, oh God, don't only forgive them, but heal their body and raise them up if you can. Or if it's right. And Lord, we are going to pray for them. Saints, I'm talking about the prayer of faith. Are you in affliction this morning? Pray the prayer of faith. Is there anyone sick here this morning? God help me. I must pray the prayer of faith for you. Is there someone here and you need to go get right with someone? Or someone has come to you? You must pray the prayer of faith. That's not, oh Lord bless them. Oh Lord help them. That's from your depths, fervently. Oh God, set them on fire. Oh God, bless them. Oh God, open your heart to them. Oh God, restore them as if they'd never done these things. Will you stand with me as we lift our hands and just pray here this morning? Let's pray. Let's pray for those who have despitefully used us even here this morning. Let's pray for them. Bless them that have cursed us. Hallelujah. My God, we look for your grace and your mercy right now in this room. Raise up men and women who know how to pray the prayer of faith. Lord God, when we walk into affliction, I pray, oh God, that you turn our hearts, Lord God, to to touch you by faith, O God, to pray that prayer that brings deliverance in our own life. Is any man afflicted? Let him pray. Is anyone sick? Call for the elders of the church and let them anoint him. Saints, here this morning, let's do the will of God. Let's make the word of God alive in our midst. We want to be real. We want to be sincere. If you need to go and confess your faults to someone, do it. It's between you and them. If you've sinned against them, go and speak to them this morning, today, and say, will you pray for me? Will you pray for me? It takes humility. You might have had anger against someone, and it was wrong, and now you've got to humble yourself and say, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Will you forgive me? Or maybe you've been hurt, and someone comes in. Will you pray for me? Can we make this right? Can we make it right here this morning? My God, wash us in the blood right now.